now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit. Here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? And welcome to Life from the Pulpit, the cutting edge in biblical exposition, coming to you live on location in Merced, California, home of the Church of Christ. This is the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble servant, Nick Perez, the voice of the valley, offer up healthy doses of medicine from the Messiah. Offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society. Greetings and welcome to the program. So yesterday was Election Day. Did you vote? You know, I would hope that that if you are of age, you participated in the political process. I hope that you participated in your God-given freedom to vote. You know, when God established this country, He put key men in leadership positions so that the kind of government we now enjoy would be put in place. It's all part of His providence. What that means is we have certain freedoms to enjoy and employ, especially the freedom to contribute to the election of government officials. But whether you did or you didn't, I suppose in some way you contributed even by your non-contribution. Again, I hope that you participated. Well, it's over. And the man who will be inaugurated as president of these United States in January is none other than our current president, the incumbent one. The votes have been cast and tallied. The talk is over. It's finally over. And whether he is or was your candidate or not, whether you voted for him or not, the winner is exactly who God wants in the Oval Office. You understand that, don't you? The man who is being inaugurated in January as president of these United States is exactly whom God wants over this country. And I don't say that to advocate any political party. I don't say that to advocate any political candidate. I say that as a statement concerning the sovereignty of God. There is a principle, a thread which runs throughout Scripture that tells us that God is a sovereign God. He is God most high over all the earth. That's Psalm 83, verse 18. Dominion is with Him. Even as far back as Job the patriarch, at least his friends, and he back in the day, long before Moses comes on the scene or David comes on the scene, Job, perhaps a contemporary with Abraham, reaching back that far, Job 20, verse 2, dominion and fear. Dominion is with God. He sets order in the heavens. Psalm 93, verses 1 and 2, the Lord reigns. That is to say, He's the grand and great monarch. He's robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as His belt. Yes, the world is established. Pardon me. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. Jump over a couple psalms to Psalm 95, verses 3 and 4. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is his, he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. God has absolute sovereign control over the cosmos, over the universe, over this little speck of dust floating out in outer space, which we call Earth. God has absolute control over that. And whether we're talking about mountain peaks or the valleys of the ocean, whether we're talking about storms or whether we're talking about earthquakes, whether we're talking about geophysical convulsions, whatever we're talking about when it comes to this planet and to this universe, the principle in Scripture is God is absolutely sovereign over that. He holds absolute sway over the entire cosmos. He's unchallenged in that. Why? Because he created it. He's the one who made it. But if we could adjust the lens just a little bit, zoom in just a little closer from the cosmos and the universe. Yes, we've come in now into focus on the earth. And even then, we adjusted even closer to the nations, to political leaders and to kings. God, the principle in Scripture is that God is the one who raises up and the God who removes political authorities. We'll stay in the Psalms for just a minute. Psalm 22 is a very well-known psalm concerning Messiah. It begins, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's all about Jesus hanging on the cross. He quotes from it. Even his opponents quote from it. And so highly messianic in its import. And yet in verse 28, here's this principle. For kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations. And this is a principle, man, this thing goes way, way back. And again, to the patriarch Job, this was a principle known even to him in his day. Talking about God, Job 12, 23. He makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away. God is the one who rules over the nations, even over America. I preached a sermon this last Sunday about the sovereignty of God on Election Day. One of the things I reminded the congregation here about, and I want to remind you, O devoted listener, about this principle, this truth as well. God, in his sovereignty, he's not up in heaven, pacing the high halls of heaven, wringing his hands, wondering about this election. He's not up in heaven, sitting on his throne, biting his nails about what if this person gets in office, or what if that person gets in office. God in his sovereignty is the one who raises up and removes. This election was in the hand of God, because he's the one who's ruling over this nation. He rules over all the nations. Psalm 24 in verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Psalm 47, man, this principle just all over the Psalms, and we haven't even stretched out the boundaries of this thing yet to other portions of Scripture. Psalm 47, verse 2, for the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. Verse 7, for God is the king of all the earth. Verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. You getting the point? You getting the picture? For every beast of the field, forest is mine, God says. The cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. That's Psalm 50, verses 10 and 11. He is sovereign in human affairs. And he raises up and he removes kings. I mean, it's all over Scripture. Jeremiah. Let's expand the boundaries of this thing now. Jeremiah chapter 27 and verse 5. Jeremiah 27 verse 5. It is I who by my great power and my outstretched arm have made the earth with the men and animals that are on the earth, and I give it to whomever it seems right to me. Barack Obama better recognize. Because if he doesn't, and he gets a God complex, a Messiah complex, how's that worked out for political leaders and rulers back in the day, where they did not give honor and glory to God? Daniel 4 is a great example. With King Nebuchadnezzar, driven out of his mind. For what purpose? Verse 17, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over the lowliest of men. Seven periods of time will pass over Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 25, why or how long? Until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he wills. Same things repeated in verse 32. God drives Nebuchadnezzar out of his mind, drives him insane, so that he can learn a lesson. That's an Old Testament example. Give you a New Testament example. Acts 12, about verse 21. Where King Herod gives an oration that is just absolutely amazing. And the people, they cry out, the voice of God, not of man. Voice of God, not of man. And King Herod does not give glory to God. God sends an angel, strikes him. He's eaten alive by worms. Yes, the man who just assumed to the highest office in the world needs to recognize that. But every last one of us American citizens needs to recognize the principle that God is the one who establishes authorities. Daniel puts it this way, just a couple chapters before. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. This is Daniel 2, now verse 21. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. God is absolutely sovereign in this. Raising up kings, setting up political powers. And oh, by the way, to my fundamental Baptist friends out there who say, well, we don't have a king. We don't have an emperor. And so therefore, you know, God, he didn't put Barack Obama. God exercises his sovereignty in a variety of ways. The means change in how God exercises his sovereignty. The means change in how he establishes, and the means change in how he removes kings. Go on MercedChurchOfChrist.org, listen to the sermon about the sovereignty of God. But I laid it out there. I just came up with six, and I don't think that list is exhaustive. Miracles, conquest, God through various means. And I include in those democracy, through the democratic process, that by that I mean a strictly democratic process, mob rule, majority rule, where the will of the majority is absolute, but also in a republic, which is what we are, a constitutionally limited form of government where we elect representatives to represent our wills and wishes in government. And that includes the highest office in the land, the president. God is exercising his sovereignty even through the republic process. It's just a function of God has given us. Well, how did John Jay put it back in 1797? One of the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He said, "Providence has given the American people the privilege and the freedom, the duty and the interest to select and elect her rulers." That includes the president. God, yes. God is sovereign, and in His sovereignty, He exercises His sovereignty in America through our election process. Well, that's Old Testament, Nick. This principle doesn't go away. Romans 13 is perhaps one of the better known passages in regards to this. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Why, Paul? Well, let me tell you why. There is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Instituted, or they have been appointed by God, or they have been ordained by God. That principle stretches all the way down to today. God is still in the business of establishing, ordaining, appointing the current political authorities. Whether we're talking about the local government, the state government, or the federal government, God's still in the business of doing that. He's in control. Paul goes so far as to call these individuals God's servants or God's ministers. Intended for good, to bear the sword and not in vain, and to execute the wrath of God and the wrongdoer. We had a proposition on the ballot here in California concerning the death penalty, and it passed. We're keeping it. That's one of the duties of the established powers, the God-established powers here in America. Even Jesus Himself recognized this principle. Did you know that? As He's standing before Pilate for the second time, He reminds him in the first exchange they have, you know, Pilate asks Him, "Are you a king?" He says, "My kingdom's not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. My kingdom were of this world, my servants would rise up, fight for me, kill people for me. They don't, because my kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom." "So you're a king?" Jesus says, "You've said so," that was a common way of saying, "Right, you got it." They have a second exchange. Pilate says in John chapter 19 and verse 10, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, verse 11, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above." Bingo. Even Jesus recognizes that any authority that is comes from God. God is the one who is in control of this thing. Yesterday was not a manifestation of God being out of control. God has been in absolute sovereign control of this nation since its birth and inception all the way until today. Listen, whether you like Him or not, whether you wanted Him or not, whether you voted for Him or not, you need to realize and accept that the man who was elected president yesterday has been placed there because that is exactly who God wants in office. Well, Nick, come on. You know, shouldn't you soften that a little bit? I mean, God, He's really just allowing him. Look, God wills it. Deo volente! God wills it! What is the will of God anyway? Isn't that what God wants? Why would God want that? Why would God want Nero to be emperor of Rome? And oh, by the way, that's who is in power when Paul is writing the epistle to the Romans. That's who's in power when Peter writes in 1 Peter 2 in verse 17, honor the emperor. How can you say that? How could God will or want these kinds of men to be in power? Maybe, just maybe, God is up to something that our little tiny finite minds can't wrap ourselves around. We just don't get it. Last verse, and this will sum up the principle, I think so, very nicely. Psalm 103 and verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Back in a moment, but first, this half hour brought to you by evangelicalbible.com. Evangelicalbible.com is the marketplace for the most durable and best crafted English Bibles available. They specialize in choosing Bibles that are both faithful to the ancient languages and have durable bindings. They offer old school Bible craftsmanship, producing Bibles both handsome and exceedingly durable. Evangelicalbible.com is also the official U.S. distributor of the distinguished British R.L. Allen Bible, and is among the top distributors of Cambridge Bibles. EvangelicalBible.com, the best crafted Bibles on earth. So that's the principle. And you need to understand, this thing is scalable. From the cosmos and the universe, all the way down to the earth. Focus the lens in now on nations, both individual and collective. Focus it even further down on the political powers that be. Kings, emperors, suzerains, governors, presidents, etc. All the way down to little old me and you. God has absolute sovereignty even in our lives. A couple of verses that speak to that. Numbers 27:16, where God is captured there as the God of the spirits of all mankind. Exodus 18, verse 4, every living soul belongs to him. Acts 17, verse 24, Paul there speaking to, those were the Old Testament passages. Here's the New Testament update for this. Paul speaking to the intelligentsia of his day, very smart people there in Athens in the Areopagus. He tells them that God, he made everything, verse 24. Verse 26, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him, yet he's not actually far from each one of us. And he meets no resistance with that. The ancients understood, yes, we are, it would seem at least, we are exactly where we need to be. God has put us in the place and the time to have the best opportunity so that we could seek after him and find him. That thing's scalable all the way down to the individual. God is sovereign. Now, let's ask, I'll ask it. You don't have to be involved in this if you don't want to, but I'll ask the tough question. Okay. What if you see this principle, and I just spent the last, 24 minutes giving you Bible passage after Bible passage, establishing this fundamental truth throughout Scripture. I just tied that whole golden thread together. Maybe it's a purple thread because it's the sovereignty of the grand and great monarch. Showing you the sovereignty of God in general, all the way down to the very specific. even to the election yesterday. The election was in the hand of God. God was over that. And God's will was done. What if? What if? And I'll expand. It doesn't just have to be. We live in America. We have a two-party system. Maybe you cast your vote yesterday for a third party or a 13th party because there were... I mean, Roseanne Barr was running for president. Are you serious? But maybe you cast your vote yesterday for... You need to understand, this is a two-party system. R's and D's. Like it or not, that's what it is. But what if yesterday, no matter who won, what if either candidate was being established, no matter who we voted for, either candidate was being raised up for the fall of America. In other words, it didn't matter who you voted for yesterday. It wouldn't have mattered who you voted for yesterday. I should say it this way. It wouldn't matter who was elected yesterday. The doom of America is certain. Oh, come on, Nick. Now, that can't be. I mean, Providence established this country. We're a Christian nation. Really? Then talk to me, if you would, about the votes in Maryland, Washington, Maine. And there was another. Four states where homosexual marriage was on the ballot, and it passed in all four. Is that a characteristic of a, quote, Christian nation? Well, so then you're just going to pick on the same-sex crowd? Not necessarily. Girl walks into her school wearing a t-shirt. And on the front it says, I'm a virgin. On the back it says, this is an old shirt. Oh, so then you're just picking on this sex thing. Not necessarily. More and more students do not view plagiarism and cheating on tests as a bad thing. Are these characteristics of a Christian nation? And I can go on. What if God in His sovereignty yesterday had providentially given us the freedom to pick our poison? And no matter who we chose, this is it. And so buckle up. But I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say. And I do read comments on the air. So if you want your voice heard, feel free to leave a comment. Also, you can like Life from the Pulpit on Facebook. You can follow me, Nick Perez, on Twitter, @InPulpit. And be sure to stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, www.lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. Also check out Merced Church of Christ's website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org, for sermon audio, as well as sermon handouts that go along with that audio. You can listen to the sermons that are preached here to use and peruse all of this in your daily Bible study. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.